Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
All right. We are off to the races, people. Welcome to another exciting edition of your favorite psychic podcast. That's right. Don't adjust your dial. You have landed at the Psychic Funhouse. Welcome to everybody. We're going to have another exciting show this week as we investigate the exciting world of dreams. And what they mean, what they're about, and their spiritual significance. So we'll be talking about that as we also take your calls and offer our usual amazing version of psychic reading and healing. So let me introduce myself. My name is Lauren Birch, and I will be your co-host along with the man, the legend, the psychic to the stars, my lovely co-host, Mr. Michael J. Espinoza. Let's give it up for Michael. Welcome.
Bonjour.
Hey.
Bonjour. Comment ça va?
Comment ça va? Comment allez-vous? Yeah. How are we doing today, Michael?
I'm good. Yeah. Boy, I made it by the skin of my teeth. Yeah, my broom took a while to get here from Bel Air to
your makeup
the studio. Yeah.
Yeah, was your makeup person late?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, makeup person. Oh, thank God the makeup person was there. But no, it was my broom was giving me trouble as I was riding in.
Did you upgrade to an all-electric broom? Is that the problem? You stop using your gas mask? You got to charge those things.
I know. No, I don't know. I think it's because it's so hot over here. So I think it was just giving me a little. Yeah. How you doing, sir?
Yeah. I am good. Yeah, I'm about ready to get some new neighbors pretty soon, so that should be interesting. And we're going to have a week of hot weather in the 90s and 100s starting on Sunday, so stocking up the popsicles now. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Like
things
that.
Have been good.
Good.
How have your A-lister clients been? Are they all away at Saint-Tropez and Cayman Islands, or what's going on? You've been busy?
Yeah, I have. You know, they bring me on the yachts with them to do readings on their yachts in the Bahamas.
What's it like to fly in a jet helicopter? Is it something you look forward to, or...? You feel trepidatious. Do they fly street?
I wish I could have flown in a helicopter in my previous life back east. This one company I worked for, we did a show on QVC, and we were supposed to take a helicopter ride back from QVC to the city. And unfortunately, there was a giant storm that came in, and they informed us they couldn't fly. It was just that bad, so we had to take a car service home. And that was not fun, because it was raining really heavy, and thunders and lightning, and I was a little nervous going home. The man that was driving, exactly. And
yeah.
The driver was, yeah, very skilled professional. So, anyway, yeah, but that was my one time at almost going on a jet helicopter.
Oh, okay. So you came close. You were checking up. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think we need to start a fundraiser at the Psychic Funhouse to give you that experience. What do you think? We'll have to.
Absolutely. Yes.
We've got a lot of old, you know, vintage furniture here at the Funhouse that could stand to be reupholstered, and we'll just get that happening and auction it off on eBay. And yeah, let's give Michael his jet helicopter ride.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea,
mm-hmm.
sir.
Yeah.
So how have you been, sir?
Been good. I've been good. Yeah. Had some clients this week that were interesting. And, like I said, I'm going to have some neighbors here probably by the end of next week, I'm guessing. Yeah. Probably about a dozen of them, I think. So, should be little goat people, Nigerian pygmy goats. So, yeah, they may want to come on the show. I don't know. We'll have to check in with their publicist. But you're not opposed to having goats co-hosting the show, are you?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
You seem pretty goat friendly, but I thought I should check.
I am. I'm very goat friendly. I love goats.
So, I know you do. So I bet you're wondering what we're going to be talking about today on the show.
Yes, I tried to use my psychic powers to connect to that, and yeah, I wasn't. I
did it work?
No. Sad.
Michael.
I know. It's sad. Makes me sad.
Are you taking the vitamins I sent you? What's on?
Yes, I am.
Well, maybe they haven't kicked in yet.
Yeah. I think.
Or you need to double.
They probably haven't.
Should double your dose, I think.
Well, yeah. But the ones that you sent me, they were expired like 3 years ago. So are they still good, do you think?
You know, the old saying is you shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth, or mouth, I guess. If they have a mouth, you shouldn't look it in the mouth.
You shouldn't lick a gift horse in the mouth.
Or you didn't do that either, unless you're on good personal terms. But that's a whole other category. I don't know what to say.
You shouldn't kiss a gift horse.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about dreams. Yes. So, everybody dreams, apparently, unless there's injury or part of your brain that dreams that's missing, I guess. Not everybody remembers their dreams, so some people will say that they don't have dreams, but unless your sleep is incredibly disturbed, that's not the case. And, you know, when I talk about dreams with people in a spiritual context or shamanic context, they usually like to differentiate between capital D dreams and, you know, all the other types of dreams, lowercase d dreams. And what I mean by that is some dreams have a pretty deep significance. They can be dreams that have an emotional resonance for you for whatever reason, or, you know, spiritual significance. They can even be prophetic. You know, there's all sorts of stories about people that have had a dream about something and then it came true later on. Pretty fascinating. Healing dreams are out there, and you can even cultivate dreams that can help you manifest things in your everyday waking life. And as some people say, this is a dream, and when we're asleep, that's when reality is really taking place, because we can do anything. So what do you think about all that, Mr. Provocatives.
Yeah, I'm not a big dream person, so I don't dream.
No.
I don't remember dreams often. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah, there are different ways you can help yourself to remember dreams. Even different substances will do that. There's some herbs that are specific for helping you dream that friends of mine and I have grown and taken before. They're pretty interesting. One of the herbs that I really like for that is pretty common. It's called mugwort. Some of our listeners may have heard of it, but mugwort can help you remember. And it can help you have pretty intense dreams. So, yeah, all you have to do is put it by your bedside, just a sprig of it, and the scent of it can really create some pretty interesting dream situations. So, yeah. So maybe we'll have to, you know, with your next vitamin shipment, I'll have to send you down some mugwort. Give it a try.
Please do, just as long as it hasn't expired 3 years ago.
Well, you know, one man's expiration date is another man's almost sell-by date. So, yeah, everything's shiftable. There's a lot of supply chain issues, Michael, so I wouldn't get too picky. Yeah. It's hard up here for an herbalist.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing the best we can. So.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Gratitude. That's the name of the game here at the Second Fun House. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, before we go to the calls, I thought I would share one of the dreams that I had. And they're for people to consider. I was in a relationship with a nice person, and we felt, you know, pretty connected. And so one night, I had this dream that she and I were out walking on the property that we lived in, and it was very detailed. There was a lot of scenery I could see. It was very, very tangible. A lot of my senses were awakened, and I really felt like this was the same environment that we were used to walking around in during the day, but just in a dream state. It was a full moon. It was a still warm night. It was during the summer. And she and I were holding hands. And for some reason, I thought, wow, this is pretty amazing. And I, looking back at it, what I had was a lucid dream, because I was able to stay asleep but wake up inside the dream, which is a pretty interesting skill you can cultivate.
I remember looking up at the moon and thinking, oh, I can probably fly to the moon. And so I let go of my girlfriend's hand and started flying upwards. I saw my body and reaching up, and I started heading for the moon. I thought, you know, this could be a problem if I actually go outside of the atmosphere, because I was still not sure if this is real or not, and I didn't want to not have any I didn't want to run out of oxygen. These are the things, you know, that your mind logically thinks about when you're having a lucid dream. You're flying, but you might run out of air. Makes a lot of sense. Anyway, I came back down, and we continued walking. And then in the morning, when she and I were awake, I remembered this dream. And as I was talking about it, she said, oh, I had the same dream. You and I were walking. Before I could finish, you know, telling her my part of the dream, she completed and said, yeah, you were flying up to the moon, and I told you to come back down because I was scared that you were going to take off or get in trouble. So that was pretty powerful. I mean, a shared dream is a really interesting event. But, yeah, so. So what do you think of that, Michael? Do you think that really happened, or did I just make it up just to impress you? You know, I do that a lot.
I think you just made it up.
Michael. Gosh. I thought we were friends.
Me too.
There I go. All right. Well, in that case, I think we should maybe go to a caller. Are you ready to take some calls? Amigo?
Let's do it. Let's do it,
okay. Amigo. All right. Let's go to the phones. Okay. So, if you have a dream you'd like to share briefly, we are very open to that on tonight's show. So feel free to do that, callers. And if you have any questions you feel we can help you with, we're here for you in that regard as well. So just give us your name and where you are calling from when you hear the area code. And here we go. First caller for the night. This is area code 914. Hi, you're on the Psychic Funhouse. How can we help you? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? Can you hear us?
Yes, I hear. Can you hear me? I call it from New York. My name is Maria, and I call it from New York.
Okay. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Thank you very much. Thank you for taking me. You see me, is I going to receive a settlement about insurance soon?
You know, I might need you to repeat your question just to make sure I heard it right. Did you have a question about I heard insurance. Is that right?
Right. It's a settlement. A settlement about insurance.
Settlement, my insurance settlement?
Right.
Okay. And your name was Rose Maria, or what was your name again? Just Maria.
Maria.
Maria. All right. Well, give us a moment to check in with our spirit guides and see if we can come up with an answer about your insurance settlement, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Maria. Thank you. So this is Lawrence, and I'm gonna go ahead and share what I'm getting. I do get that you have a settlement coming. I don't going
yeah.
to be for the amount that you were hoping for. It's still going to be significant, but it's not going to be as much as you initially got told by either you know, whoever you're working with legally or the insurance company, but that is going to happen. I do see it happening within the next 5 to 6 weeks, I guess. So you should be you should be good. So that's what I'm getting. Michael, do you have anything?
Excuse me. I kept putting my daughter on the phone. Okay, I can talk to my daughter. She got a question, please.
Oh, okay.
When you finish, you see me, I put him. Oh, you're talking another one? Okay. I don't know what's the two people who talk. I'm sorry. That's the first time I called.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let me check in and see if Michael has anything to add. Anything that come up for you, Michael, or you good?
I'm not seeing the money come soon, anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Not soon.
Yeah. I don't see the money from the settlement coming anytime soon.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, so you got two answers, I guess. So,
what?
Okay.
You can talk it to my daughter, please. My daughter got a question. I gave another. Yes, I put in my daughter.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sure, Maria. You bet.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call and my mom's call. I appreciate it.
Sure. What's your name?
My name is Katie.
Katie. Okay, Katie. What can we do for you? What's your question, Michael and myself?
Thank you. Yes, I was wondering about work. I was wondering if you see Tom or Jared giving me a job, working with me in some kind of collaboration. Anything happening with either one of them?
The name that keeps coming up for me is Tom, so I'm going to listen to that and say that Tom's the person you're more likely to be working with than Jared. The other thing the guys are showing me is that you have a better relationship with Tom, I guess, than you do with Jared, maybe in terms of compatibility with work. So I think that's also influencing whether or not he's going to collaborate with you, I guess. So does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, I could see why you say that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. Michael, do you have anything coming through for Katie?
I kind of get it's going to be more with Tom than Jared. For something about the energy about Tom feels brighter, bigger. So to me, that shows me like this is the area where it's going to work.
Oh, fabulous. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much,
you're
both of you.
Yep.
Hope that helped.
Yes, immensely. Thank you. Many blessings to you both. Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Well, you guys take care and stay cool.
Thank you. Yes, you as well. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. All right. Tom and Jerry. I guess she's going to be working for either a cat or a mouse. Not necessarily the worst employers to have.
I thought it was Jared.
Tom and Jerry. That's pretty close. You don't think so?
Ask maybe. Jared.
Okay, Jared. All right. Gosh. All right.
Well.
So, what?
that's how some people work, you know. They like their name.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it shortened.
Yeah, I'm like that. Yeah. Get it. Okay, so because you asked, I'm going to go ahead and share another dream that I had with you. That sound good, Michael?
Perfect.
I can tell you're waiting with bated breath because I can smell it. Yeah.
Jerk.
Why? So, let's see. So, let's see. What's a good one? Oh, okay. Well, I was talking about mugwort earlier, and So a friend of mine was making some ale. He was brewing some beer. He was getting ready to add the wort part. And the wort, you know, for those of you that aren't beer brewers, is where you add herbs like hops and other things to preserve the beer and also give it some flavor. IPAs have a lot of hops in them, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so I said, well, why don't we substitute some of the hops with mugwort? And it's called mugwort. It goes in a mug. It's a wort. It's used in brewing beer. He's like, okay, cool, let's do it. So we added some mugwort, and the ale was ready a few days later. And I came home from work, and I had a little sip, just a sip, and I went to bed. And that night, I had this crazy dream. I was taken by a spirit to this location, and it was really dry and dusty. And I remember the color of the soil was really red, and it was hot, so it was clear I was in a desert. And there was this dirt road kind of in the middle of nowhere, and this white, foreign-looking car came along the road and stopped. And this black man got out of the white car, opened the trunk, and pulled the body out. And it was of a white woman. And he apparently had killed her in some scenario. I didn't get those details. And he dumped the body by the side of the road, got back in the car, and took off. And it was very vivid. Again, my senses were really keyed up, and it was really intense, and I could feel, you know, a lot of emotional, intensity, and that keeps harboring on that word, from the situation, so much so that I woke up and I was in a sweat, and I was freaked out. My heart was racing, because I had witnessed this event. Even though it was in a dream state, it felt even more real, for a bunch of reasons. So I dressed, got to work, and I was there early, and I just happened to grab the newspaper before I started my shift, and I open it to page 3 where the little section is on foreign news, and my eye was drawn right to this section that was a couple paragraphs about a murder that had taken place in North Africa, and it described my dream in detail, the car, the person, you know, the murder and everything else, the body being dumped and found in a remote location in the desert, which was, to me, that's not a coincidence, that's a synchronicity. So it was really disturbing. And I found that mugwort is kind of a teacher of, black and white, situations. It's a protective herb, but it's also one that will really put things into relief for you to pay attention to in a big way. But it definitely got my attention. So I have a lot of respect for that plant and its ability to help you astral travel, your dream body. So needless to say, I don't think I had any more of that beer. So what do you think of that, Michael? You rate, how do you rate
you
mastering on a scale of 1 to 10? Need to stop what?
Stop smoking, whatever this was.
Oh.
It's true.
You are just
it's true.
True. Yeah, it really happened.
Wow.
It really happened. So, yeah.
I used to dream a long time ago, but it was just, it was the same dream. And this occurred after, or it was actually during the AIDS epidemic. And after my friends died, I would see them chasing me. One of them would turn into a monster and he would constantly chase me.
Oh, wow.
And that used to frighten me.
Huh. What do you think that was about?
And it was, I just think the whole thing with the AIDS epidemic, it was just, it was very frightening at that time. Yeah. And sometimes it was scary.
People went through a lot.
That's what it was. I think that's what it was. It was just kind of the fear of it all chasing me.
Yeah. Did you ever get caught by your monster friend?
I would always see it, and then run away.
I think chasing dreams are pretty common, that we've had them in our childhood a lot. I remember having those kinds of dreams, somebody's pursuing you, and sometimes you don't even see it. You just are afraid of whatever it is, the unknown. Did you gradually stop remembering your dreams, or did your sleep cycle change, or what happened with your dream life when you used to dream more regularly?
I don't sleep very good. I don't get much sleep. I wake up a lot. And I have sleep apnea, and my sleep is not very great. It's not good. So.
I see. Have you thought about getting one of those CPAP machines?
I have one. Yeah, it's in storage.
You do? It's in storage. Well, sir, are you ready for another call? What do you think?
Let's do it.
We'll do it. All right. Let's see who's around. Oh, I hear a phone. All right, good deal. All right, this is area code 314. Hello, you're on the Psychic Funhouse with Michael and Lawrence. What's your name, and where are you calling from, please?
Hi, my name is Marsha.
Marsha?
Martha.
Martha, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, get that straight. How can we help you today, Martha? What's new with you?
Hi,
are you a dreamer? Are you somebody who likes to remember your dreams, or... that happened for you?
Well, I'm a Pisces, so I'm constantly daydreaming.
I know. You might even be dreaming this right now. Who knows? Just pinch yourself. If you're awake. Very good.
Well, I don't have a dream that I can remember, but I was wondering if you could give me some insight. If you pick up anything from Spirit or your guides or whatever you do, some insight onto my career and if you see me getting a permanent position soon.
Okay, career question from Martha. Well, I can tell you what my guides are sharing with me. You know, what they're saying is that you're a pretty good balance between somebody who's driven in their field, but isn't, what's the right way to describe it, isn't unethical, I guess, in the way you go about it. You're what I think would best be described as a team player. Like, you want to bring everybody along with you so everybody gets to taste success, which makes you a really good leader and somebody who, you know, is really an asset to whatever company they're a part of. So, you know, just for those reasons alone, you'd be a great person to promote and to keep, you know, close to whatever management is working with you. And as far as your actual job situation and promotions, you know, the sense I'm getting is that there are maybe one or two people who really see your potential. They're not the persons that are able to make the decision as far as whether or not to actually you know, give you a raise or promote you or increase your benefits, something like that. They do put in they do put in a good word for you, but those, you know, that decision actually is kind of their hands. I guess for that reason, you know, I would say that it's going to be a while before you actually get moved up to the position that you want or advance in the way you want to. So what I'm seeing is you know, have you spoken directly about advancing to any of your superiors?
Yeah.
and inquired? Yeah. What's the feedback you get?
I feel like I'm gaslit.
Yeah, I think that's unfortunately part of the problem. You know, I think the part of what may be effective for you is to recruit somebody to your cause who's got some authority. So I don't know if you have, somebody who's higher up in the company who is already a mentor for you or somebody you could approach about it. But whoever you're talking to directly, I don't think they're really going to see things the way that you do in terms of your abilities. Is there somebody in a related department or somebody who you may already have a connection with who's potentially somebody that could act as an ally for you and put in a good word?
I haven't even really thought that much far through. I was just wondering why I'm not being advanced when I'm like completely qualified in every sense of the word, almost overqualified. If it was a personal vendetta against me, jealousy, I'm not sure.
Well, you know, I really didn't want to bring this up because, you know, it's just one more thing to be frustrated on. But one of the things my guides mentioned was that there's a culture of sexism in your company. At least with the people that, you know, can pull the strings to advance you. And I think part of the...
Sorry, I can't hear you.
There's a culture of sexism at your company. And in you know, at least in the area of the department you're in. And
well, this is kind of women against women right now. It's not men against. I'm in fashion, so it's women against women.
No, I know, and I know you're going to say that, and I know it's not. Yeah. Usually we think of it as being, you know, when you say sexism, it's, you know, male against female. This is actually coming from.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a strange thing when that happens, but. You know, I guess maybe the way to describe it is sometimes what happens, especially in, you know, older generations, in order for women to advance in their field, they kind of have to take on some of the attributes of, you know, the negative attributes of the men in the company, and they have to kind of out masculine the men, and in doing so they can lose sight of you know, the support that they need to give to their sisters that are coworkers. And I think some of that's what's going on. There's a sense that you know, from this person or maybe more than one person, that you're not you're not proving yourself as much as you had to, and so there's a sense that you're not as worthy of an employee as she is, even though, like you said, you're, you know, you tick the boxes on every qualification that you need to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think this is why, you know, going directly to the people that you work with, it's going to be pretty difficult in getting you, you know, what you feel you deserve. And it's going to take some maneuvering on your part to kind of talk to somebody, you know, who has some power and authority, but maybe, you know, you don't work under directly, who can put in a good word for you and just, you know, have a heart-to-heart with them about, you know, what you feel like you're capable of, but what you're experiencing and what, you know, what their perspective is on everything. And I think having that conversation is going to be both eye-opening for you and also probably your best shot at getting the advancement that you've been ready for a while. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you're experiencing this. It's kind of ridiculous. But you mentioned fashion.
It's ridiculous. It feels ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're in the fashion industry, and so I'm going to hand you over to our fashion industry specialist to see what the perspective is. That would be our resident psychic to the stars, Mr. Michael Espinosa. Michael, do you have any insights for Martha?
I wouldn't say I'm a specialist anymore, but anyway. I'm kind of getting it was Martha?
Martha. Like Martha Washington.
Got it. You need to look outside of this company. And as you were talking and as Lawrence was talking, I'm getting it's just not even worth wondering why or trying to figure out what's happening here. Your guides were just kind of like, let it go, find another company and move on. Because it feels kind of like this is, it kind of feels like the whole company is toxic, you know, and you're experiencing it, right, in your department with your boss. But, you know, a fish rots from the head down. So this is throughout the company. And so they're saying it's just not even because if you had a chance that you could, you know, talk with somebody about this and perhaps move past this, it's worth it, but the feeling I'm getting, it's just not even worth it. It kind of feels like you've hit the ceiling where you're going to go. And it to move upward, you need to move somewhere else.
All right. Well, that's just so nutty to me. I mean, not that what you're saying. I'm just saying that this is just a situation. Like, if this was maybe 3-4 years ago, I would have, like, really been involved in this drama and been sucked into it. But I'm just so not in that point in my life right now, and I don't care about this immaturity.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That they are, like, that they live for.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, don't even waste your energy on it. That's why it's just like, you know what? Got it. I'm going to move somewhere else. I'll go somewhere else. You know, because there's better companies out there. You know, and from my experience in the fashion industry back in New York, there's a lot of toxic people in them, and you get them in any workplace, but because of the industry being so stressful, unfortunately, you get people that just don't even know how to deal with stress, right?
Yeah, my favorite line is, it's retail, it isn't NASA. Like, I mean, these people act like it's freaking NASA. It's not that stressful.
Yeah.
We're talking about here.
Yeah, I know. But that's the ego, right?
Yeah. But thank you so much for your insight, everyone. I don't know if I got to everyone.
There's just two of them.
It seems like.
Thank you very much. I'll take everything you said into consideration.
Yeah. Martha, before you go, my guides were wanting to ask you, do you write about the fashion industry at all? Is that something you do? Do you blog about it even? Or?
No. But I have actually thought that this is so funny, what I'm going through, that I would almost write about it.
Well, you know what?
I literally thought about that earlier today.
Yeah, well, you might, come up with a treat, something like Fashion World Confidential or whatever, and, you know, see if you can shop it around to some contacts or even get an agent. Because I think you have the real potential for a writing career, in addition to your fashion experience. And it doesn't just have to be about the craziness that you're experiencing, but it certainly, you know, that could form the nucleus of what you want to write about. If it ends up just being therapy for you, that's fine too. But I do think, you know, with the right editor, you have the potential to really launch another way of getting some income, and also I wouldn't say getting your revenge, because I think that's kind of petty, but I think, you know, just kind of having, you know,
if I really cared about these people, they really don't interest me in, like, but they wish that they did interest me. I'm just not in that point in my life, like, where I really care. I have other, like, important things in my mind than their winning over their fake love, which is fake and temporary.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, you know, cattiness sells. I mean, you can look at all the reality shows, and it's all about, you know, how
I don't think
how
so.
Much
not where I live. I live in Florida, and in my area in Florida, it's all about sweet. I'm from Midwest, and it's all the people that visit my area. It's all sweet Midwesterns, and this lady came from New York, and she is so awful.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Evil news.
But,
yeah.
She is very
well. You know, I mean, Midwest nice is a thing. I think you've got the makings of some real interesting experiences to share with people. You know, the clash of cultures and the location in Miami. And you know, I would sit down and see if you can come out with
Miami. This was work in my New York. People would live in Miami. That's not where I live.
Yeah, sorry, I misspoke. I meant Florida.
Other coast. No,
okay.
I understand.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to knock New York people because my whole family's from, like, Syracuse and other places in New York. So this is a – some people are different, that's for sure.
Yeah, well,
I would say
those New York people.
Wannabe
person. Yeah, well, you know, I think it would be you know, it might be really insightful for some people that are interested, you know, in working in the industry to share your perspective, you know, what it was like starting out and you know, the ceiling that you're hitting and what's that about in 2022, you know, why is that even happening? So, but, but yeah, sit with it and write some stuff out and then, you know, see how you feel about it. But I do think it's a great potential for you to the second
career.
Well, I
have some material, that's for sure.
Sure sounds like it. Well, don't pass it out, Martha. Have fun with it.
All right. Like, one thing that I do, which is awful, is, like, I, like, take it, like, this whole month I've been mistreated by this woman, and instead of, like, I, like, take it out of myself, which is the worst thing. And it builds up, and then for, like, maybe 4 or 5 days, I'll just take it out myself, and then I'm just done. But I have to, like, it sucks I always have to self-sabotage for, like, 4 or 5 days.
Mm.
Just a pattern. But I guess people don't really realize how they treat others. It's like, you know, I don't treat people like this woman does. But,
right.
Because I wouldn't want them to feel the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't think anyone in position of power should mistreat their lower employees.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you.
I don't, there's no way this is ever right.
Right. Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, you know, it definitely goes on. Way more than it should. But, you know, maybe since you're aware of the pattern, you know, this might be a way for you to, you know, to kind of disrupt it for yourself instead of, you know, turning things back on yourself. You can recognize you have an outlet to, you know, write some of these things down, just kind of purge and, you know, have things get on the page so you have a little more control over the narrative rather than internalize
yourself. Great advice.
Beat yourself up about it. Yeah, well, you know, we want you to succeed. You like, you know, my guys are saying you're a really good person and you would make a really good leader of a company someday because you're a team player for real. So, but yeah, write some stuff out. Send it to us here at the Funhouse. I have my email address listed and I give it out at the end. I'd be happy to take a look at it. Give you some feedback.
Thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you all.
Martha, can I jump in here real quick with something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we know we're adults, and the majority of the time, we expect people to respond as such. But unfortunately, being out there in the you know, the corporate world for a long time, you just see people don't respond as they should. And you see a lot of, emotional immaturity out there. And people just do not know how to act accordingly. And when you've tried your best to overcome the situation and, you know, and I guess, you know, if you want to go over your boss's head and try
to... That would be my last straw because I just don't care enough about her.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. So the best path is the least.
I mean, she's already called me ugly, fat, stupid, ugly, fat, dumb, blonde. Oh, yeah.
Nasty.
Ugly, fat, dumb, blonde. I mean, that's just like summarizing everything.
That's when you know you just.
Someone that's a little off.
From my experience, it's just move on. Yeah, it's just you need to find another corporation where you'll be valued. That's it. And then you don't have to deal with us. So anyway, good luck to you. Let us know
how
it goes, okay? All right.
Thank you.
Martha, before you go, I got one more thing, too. Now that you've stayed on long enough, this is starting to happen. Do you have a place near you, a natural place, like even a park or something, but a natural area where you can go that would be safe for you to hang out for a while in? Anything come to mind?
I mean, I'm in Florida by all natural state parks.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm bringing that up is I think, you know, what my guides were showing me was for you to go to a place, it could even be the seaside, you know, somewhere where, you know, ideally there aren't a lot of people around so you could just have some alone time. But I think there's a lot of hurt, I think, that you've experienced, and just, you know, it's injured you, I think, more than you want to really admit. And
this is like the funniest thing. Mm-hmm. People say to me all the time, don't wear your don't let your emotions affect you or something like that. They just, I'm 32 years old. It's not going to change.
Uh-huh.
I am an emotional person, and I lead by my emotions. And
okay.
I wear my, you know, it's not going to change. I'm probably intuitive empath, whatever. Or I don't know what that saying is. Don't let your emotions control your thoughts. They just do. I just know that it's not, that's part of my personality, I think, almost. So, yeah, it does hurt my feelings. I'm sure there's a better way to deal with that, but I don't think it's going to change.
Yeah, well,
like
maybe,
power,
you know.
The book, The Power of the Mind, I probably should read that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, if you know yourself and you know that your emotions are a strength and that's part of how you see the world, then, you know, that's how you should continue to see the world. You know, if you come at it from an emotional place, you know, there's a lot of people that struggle just to recognize their own feelings. It can be hard, I think, when you're sensitive, when you're in an environment where that's
I'm
not
sensitive.
Really
understood.
There you go. I'm
sensitive.
Yeah. But, you know, the reason I was bringing up a place in nature, you know, there's a process I have some of my students do sometimes where I have them go sit with a plant or sit with a tree and just open themselves up and make a connection. And I think you're that ideal person who would get a lot out of that experience. As simple as it sounds, it can actually be really profound. And I think there's some purging that could potentially happen with you, and also some healing, you know, some feedback that would be really good for you to experience in a nature setting, you know, that doesn't involve.
So one thing I do in Florida is I go shelling, and that's like my meditative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, you know, I live in the best place for shelling ever, and I just find seashells, and they're such beautiful mm-hmm. options. And
nice.
Yeah, that's like how I like definitely bond. But I'm not like a tree person. Mm-hmm. I'm more of like a sheller. Yeah, but
that's really cool.
That's my
yeah.
connection.
Yeah, well, I would encourage you the next time you do that, find a shell that really captures your attention and maybe just hold it close to you and sit somewhere with it and allow it to open up to you and connect with the wisdom that it holds, because there's a lot of information in nature that, you know, we sometimes pass by. But I think this could be a process for you to really deepen your connection, but also to experience some healing, because I think you really need to, you know, you really need to.
Oh, this has completely upset me. I'm not going to lie. I don't miss work, and I've missed, like, I, like, took 3 days off this week because I was so upset about it, and I faked COVID.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
Not kidding.
Well, no, I get it. Well, then you know, hopefully, you know, you can start taking some steps to turn some things around for you and you know, process some of the stuff so it doesn't, you know, really start having a greater and greater impact on you. But, you know, but I think you're going to make some good decisions, you know, and Michael and I are definitely looking out for you. So let us know what happens and keep in touch, all right?
Well, thank you so much. I thank you for all your positivity. I do hope I... I'm not the,
yeah.
The only reason, like, what I do is I don't talk to people about it, but for 3 days I'll self-sabotage, then I'll talk about it at the very end of my breakdown, and then I'm done. That's just how I deal with things, but I would never have opened up to you 3 days earlier.
Yeah,
and
well,
I
maybe, you know.
Cycles of dealing with stress and that's, like, something I know I need to work on.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can reverse that up, you know. Maybe you can start talking about it earlier before you let it, you know, base in your head as much. But, you know, you get to figure that out yourself. You know, you'll figure it out. You got a good head on your shoulders, so don't let the turkeys get you down. They're just assholes. Yeah.
They really have. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for giving us a call, Martha. You take care of yourself.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Have a good night.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that is a lot to deal with for Martha. I feel for her, for sure. Well, my friend, guess what time it is?
Oh, no. Already?
Already. Already. Yeah. So what's the best way for people to contact you, sir?
You go to my website, MichaelJEspinoza.com. How about you, sir?
You can contact me, call or text. 541-344-7534. Email is givingtree@earthlink.net. And my website is givingtreefarm.com. So I want to thank my lovely co-hosts for another wonderful show. Thank our wonderful listeners. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody tonight, but I'm sure you found the show as valuable as we did. So thanks for listening. And come back and see us again next week. We're here every Friday to the Coast time, 6 to 7. So on behalf of all of us at the Psychic Funhouse, we're wishing you well. Have a lovely weekend. Stay cool. Bye-bye now.
Have a great weekend, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye.